You do.
I call the ordinance committee at 6:01. First up is the acceptance of the minutes. There are none. Number one is PCO 18-15, an ordinance regarding the trash collection of large items and heavy pickups. This is Councilman Lattiser and Councilwoman Travis. Councilman Lattiser.
So the reason that we've brought this forward is because of repeated offenders and abuse of the heavy trash pickup. And I know that this has been going on for several years now, and in some instances, at least in my ward, back quite a ways, I had asked DPW for some input and statistics on some of these heavy pickups. And we're not talking about homeowners here or single-family homes, so I just want to make that clear. This has nothing to do with single-family home pickups. This is for essentially the multifamily rental units, particularly non-owner occupied, as well as owner occupied. And what's happening is oftentimes the tenants are either they leave the premises or they're evicted from the premises. And when they do, they deposit all their belongings that they don't want on the street or on the sidewalk or on the front lawn. I've had instances in my ward where DPW's had to send 30-yard dumpsters to the particular property to get this all picked up, including a payloader or a backhoe type of piece of equipment. And it's all on the taxpayer dollars. That is not fair. That is totally unacceptable. And we need to get some control on that. And these constant offenders of this service that the city provides needs to be held responsible. This ordinance is addressing that issue. I know in one particular location in one year, I believe it was somewhere in the vicinity of 100 pickups in one year. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. And it's even more ridiculous that all the taxpayers should be footing the bill. I have been a property owner over the years, and we collect rents. It's a business. We run a business. And part of the cost of running that business is dealing with the tenants when they vacate and they leave all their stuff in that apartment. We have to pay the cost to remove it. And it's rightfully so. And the taxpayers shouldn't have to bear that burden. I know Councilwoman Travis, who is a co-sponsor on this with me, she has had the same issues in her ward and the same abuses taking place. So I'll read into the record the proposed changes, and then I will turn it over to Councilwoman Travis so she can speak to the issues that she's experienced. And I feel quite comfortable in assuming that pretty much everyone on the city council has had their share of this type of problems occurring in your ward, where you're constantly getting all this trash and debris and junk thrown on the front walks, and the taxpayers in your ward have to foot the bill for something they shouldn't. So in section 22-79 starts out at line 38B, the following limitations and regulations shall apply to special heavy trash collections at all residential dwellings in the city, except those dwellings that are owner-occupied single-family homes for which no limitations on heavy trash pickups are imposed. I'll repeat it. Except those dwellings that are owner-occupied single-family homes for which no limitations on heavy trash pickups are imposed. Heavy trash collections are limited to two within any 12-month period per address location, with the start of said 12-month period commencing on the date of the first heavy trash collection. The material that may be picked up is limited in size to that which fits in a one-ton lift gate, approximately 240 cubic foot vehicle. The property owner shall be responsible to pay all costs, including labor, material, equipment, and disposal fees for heavy trash material collected by the city that is in excess of the number of collections and or in excess of the size limitations set forth in I and II above. Failure to comply with the limitations and regulations set forth shall be a violation by the owner of the premises, for which the owner of the premises shall be cited. The owner of the premises shall be liable for the penalties and lien provisions set forth. There is one other change. It's a housekeeping issue. And on the second page, line 19, you'll see the strikeout of minimum housing and replace with the underlying property maintenance. And those are the changes. Are there any comments?
Thank you, Councilman. And also on line 31, house maintenance, we're eliminating minimum housing and adding property maintenance. And on the line 27, same thing, minimum housing is striked out and it's now property maintenance.
Where is
on
that?
On the first page, section 2881.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. Yes. Sorry. I didn't highlight that. Thank you.
So those are three changes there. Same thing. And again, thank you, Councilman, for pointing out. I know that was my first question that I asked you, and you it directly says this does not affect single-family homes. If there is no limitations on the heavy trash pickup, this does not change that. Does not address that. Councilwoman Travis?
Yes. I'd like to echo Councilman Lattisaw. So too many times I have seen in my ward where the tenants would leave in the middle of the night, leave the debris all over. I had one house that was on the corner, and I mean from one, the whole entire corner was covered. And then it rained or something, and all that garbage and all that trash, they weren't even in barrels or bags. They just sat there. So the cost to the taxpayer was unbelievable. We had to get the public works to go out there with a dumpster, have them take the, a bulldozer or something to pick it up, have them, a couple of guys there. So we had to pay, have to pay that cost. And it's just repeat and repeat and repeat. Especially if you have somebody who would, like, say, a landlord who's renting the property, and you had a turnover of people coming and going. And you've seen that so many times. So we definitely needed this legislation so we can tighten up the belt. So I appreciate it. Favorable action.
Thank you. Councilman Corley.
I have a question concerning the penalty on line 16 and 2282. It says that I can understand the fine of not exceeding $600 for each offense. However, I think there is some problem with the imprisonment of not exceeding 6 months and subject to the terms of 2283 below. 2283 does not mention anything concerning imprisonment, and in prison, I think sending someone to jail, or at least having the possibility that there could be a jail sentence, implicates several problems, one being that they would be entitled to have a lawyer appointed for them if they couldn't afford one, and I don't know where these issues would be resolved. I just don't know if I think my personal opinion is that the punishment should be limited to the fines as stated, and that the language that is on line 15, there should be a period after $600 for each offense, period. Then I would suggest striking the imprisonment not exceeding 6 months. The subject to the terms of 2283 below is fine, but that is my suggestion.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Councilman, I just wanted to point out that that language that's there now, that is not my language. It is not our language. This is language that has been there for, I have no clue, how many years. It certainly was language that was put in by the previous administration or administrations. I did not add it, nor did I take any steps to delete it. But it has been there for a good number of years. And John Harrington could probably comment to that, maybe. Here he is. So just wanted, you know, for the record, that's not Councilwoman Travis's or mine or anyone else that's on to this. It is strictly language that was there.
The Councilman Lattiser is correct in that that language was existing, and it's been there for a very long time. I used that section to insert the provisions that he wanted to put in, because one of the things that was trying to be captured here was the lien provisions, that if somebody does this, further on down in those sections, and one of the reasons I included them all in the ordinance is that a violation under this ordinance allows the city to impose a lien against the property owner for the cost of removing the material. So that was why I selected where to insert the new provisions. I mean, to the extent you have a concern about the existing language, then I suppose you can propose an amendment, but I didn't make any didn't make any drafting changes to what's been there for a very long time, to my knowledge.
No, I understand, and both of you, what you're saying is correct. It just strikes me that that should be an amendment, and perhaps the when you're citing the sections of the penalties, it cites 2283, but it does not also cite 2284, which does allow for the liens to be placed on it, and perhaps that should be added as well to the section B of 2282, that it should say that 2283 is also something that can be used to put a, or 2284 is something that can be used to put a lien on the property.
Well, 2284 is in that particular article and is available to the city to utilize. I mean, if you wanted to add a reference, I guess you could, but I don't think adding the reference is necessary because the section states that it can be used to impose a lien.
I have no problem with that. I think that having that ability is something that would be that would catch the attention of the people that are violating if there were to be a lien placed on their property. At the appropriate time, I'm just going to suggest that the phrase concerning the punishment on line 15 that says, or by imprisonment not exceeding 6 months, be stricken, but it does not in any way go to try to lessening the intent of the stat, the change in the ordinance, which I am in favor of.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Through the chair to Councilwoman Travis. Councilwoman Travis, I don't have a problem with redacting or removing that particular language. Do you? Okay. So if we take it, if we may, Chairman.
Yep.
So the recommendation is to delete or by imprisonment not exceeding 6 months, subject to the terms of section 22-83.
Well, you can leave the, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you can simply strike the or by imprisonment not exceeding 6 months.
Okay.
Because that comma works well to direct people to 2283. And it only is pertaining to the $600 fine and other fines that and other provisions of 83 and 84 that are available to a judge for enforcement purposes.
Okay, so if we agree to remove all by imprisonment not exceeding 6 months. You don't have any other changes?
None.
I'm all set with that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from the members of the public on PCO 18-15, an ordinance regarding the trash collection of large items and heavy pickups? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion for approval with an amendment.
Okay.
The amendment would be on section 22-82, penalty, suspension of penalty, line 15, to delete, I'm sorry, a period after for each offense to be a period. It'll say punishable with a fine not exceeding $600 for each offense, period. Delete or by imprisonment not exceeding 6 months. Subject to the terms of section 2283 below will remain.
I would, just for grammatical purposes, if you left the comma after, leave the comma exactly where it is before subject, then you just keep it in one sentence rather than starting a second sentence.
Okay. So after offense will be a comma as opposed to a period.
Correct.
Easy. Okay. I'm much better with numbers than I am with grammar.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Then do we have
a move
motion?
Favorable as amended?
I'll second that.
It's been moved favorable as amended. It's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is PCO 10-19, an ordinance in regard to water discharge. This is not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold till January 6th.
Motion to hold to January 6th.
Second.
It's been, moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next up is PCO 13-19, an ordinance in regard to no parking here to Chapman's Ave, to 406 Chapman's Ave to 420 Chapman's Ave. I'm the sponsor of this. I'm going to ask to move this to the pending file.
Make a motion to move to the pending file at the request of the sponsor.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And three is PCO 15-19, an ordinance regarding health insurance for city employees. This is not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold till December 2nd.
So motion to hold to December 2nd?
Second.
Yes.
I'll second.
It's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. That closes ordinance at 6:19.
The time is 6:20 p.m. The City Council Committee on Public Safety now comes to order. As to acceptance of minutes, there are none before us. First item on the agenda is PCR 16-18, tree damage claims. This is the bill of Councilman McAllister. It is not currently drafted. If I could request a date from the sponsor.
Yes, I make a motion to hold to January 22.
Do we have a motion to hold from?
Motion to hold till January 22nd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Held to January 22nd. Second item, PCR 149-19, resolution to claims. This is Councilman Snappy. Let's see. Yeah, as this, there is one claim, that of Kristen Miller. Is Kristen Miller present here this evening? Not seeing her present, may I request a motion to hold? Rather, I'm sorry, it appears that this has been held.
Oh, We did hold this last meeting for additional information, Mr. Chairman. I realize we received the information. However, I know that Chairman Sinapi usually likes to either have the person here or make that decision. He's the one who made the request. I'm just going to ask that we hold it one more with your permission.
Second.
All in favor of holding to December 2nd, 2019?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. This concludes the meeting of the Public Safety Committee. The time is 6:24.
The Intergovernmental Committee meeting will begin at 6:25. There are no minutes. There is one item on the agenda, PCR 134. 18, a resolution to create a charter review committee. It's not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Motion to hold till January 6th per request of the sponsor.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And the Intergovernmental Committee concludes at 6:26.
Good evening, everyone. For the benefit of everyone who has joined us this evening, it's not familiar with the schedule and the calendar. For the next committee meeting, we have to wait until 6:40. That's why we're kind of just looking like we're all standing around talking to ourselves. And sometimes we actually do that. But that's the reason. We just wanted to let you know. So 6:40, we'll be convening the next committee. Ma'am? If you want to... Not for that one. Not for the... Well, you don't have to sign up to speak to the committee meetings. You can simply go to the podium when the committee meetings come. But if you want to speak during the 15-minute open mic, yes, you would sign up for that. Okay? Any other questions? Okay, good. Thank you. The sign-up sheet is at the podium where for the public comment. Right. Correct. Is at the podium if anyone would like to sign up.
The time is 6:43. We'll commence the City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs. First, acceptance of minutes from the previous committee meeting. There are no such minutes to accept. We have one item on the agenda. This is for second passage. The item is PCO 16-19, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, 2574 West Shore Road, Carpionato Group, LLC, petitioner. This is for second passage. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, thank you. We're going to move it favorable action, but before we get into it, we need a second, right? I'm moving to favorable action on PCO 16-19. But I do want to make a statement that I know the last meeting, the people were not here because it wasn't on the agenda. But Councilman Sinapi and I did put a resolution in, and it was passed by the City Council to the state requesting that we get that street light as soon as possible. So we did make a resolution to the state people that we wanted that as soon as possible. That was just like a little extra push to try to get that. So I wanted you to know that we did go that far to do that. That's one thing to help it move it along. But it's second passage, and I'm sure some people are going to still talk about it. I got my book with me, so there you go, Mr. Chairman.
Right, and I know that there was a lot of public comment at the previous meeting. There was a lot of discussion. With that, going first, are there any questions from members of this committee?
No.
Any questions from other members of the City Council? And now this is the opportunity if there are any members from the public who wish to step up to the mic and speak on this. the button at the bottom. Very bottom. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Maureen McNamara. I live at 41 Spring Grove. Can you first explain this process, how this committee works, what you're going to be voting on right now, and what we're going to next, just so that we're all understanding what page, where we are in this process?
Before the committee is PCO 16-19. I believe you were at a previous meeting. It is in the same form that it had been voted upon on the prior meeting. The items changing ordinances require two passages. So before the committee at this time is the second passage of the ordinance. At this time, no motion has been made, but they are offering the public their opportunity to speak. Should the committee take some sort of action, it would then be referred in whatever way action is taken to the full council. But per the rules of the committee and the council, public testimony on all items is taken at this level in the committee at this point in time.
Okay. So if it's okay, I do have something I do want to present to you right now, if I can approach and hand this out to you.
You may approach.
Mr. Chairman, if you could just ask the speakers to speak into the mic and speak louder, because we can't hear them. Thank you.
I'll just state, as Councilman Lattiser, the microphone system is not particularly good, so in order to hear, if you could please speak directly into the microphone and hold it very close.
Okay, is that better?
Thank you.
All right, first I want to say, Councilman Corley, thank you for pointing out at the last meeting why ask for the access now. Why not come back and ask for it if you really need it? The fact is, they don't need this access. They want it, and it's ridiculous that we are even discussing this. There are so many other things that we could be spending our time on and energy, but we are here fighting to keep our neighborhood just that, a neighborhood. I want to establish a misconception from the last meeting. Kelly Coates kept saying, "I hear my neighbors, no trucks." And no, Kelly did not hear us. We said no traffic. I am going to try to make this as quick as possible. The proposed zone change put in front of you tonight and at the last meeting was generated by one man's want. Let me reiterate that for you. It was a want that was put into a lease agreement, which we have yet to see and has had absolutely no justification. And to our disappointment, we haven't had or heard any council member ask for it. We welcomed Dave's, but they have shown they are not interested in being good neighbors. And personally, I no longer support this project and would call their bluff. If they want to walk away from the project because they can't have access, go ahead. There are plenty of competitors that will jump in their place, and we all know that the current store should be shut down because of all the code violations. From the beginning, the residents of Spring Grove have been at a disadvantage. For one, we are not as financially invested in some of the leadership here in Warwick as Carpionato and Dave's owners are. Second, the planning department from the beginning has been disappointingly biased. Not only have we been given poor, misleading information, there was never any concern or consideration toward the residents and how they were to be affected. Not only was this disturbing, more so is the fact that the director of the planning department is also the mayor's chief of staff. So I have two questions I'd like for you to ponder. One, how much influence does the mayor have over planning? Let's not forget who our big contributors are. Two, how can one person dedicate the amount of time and detail required to do both of these board positions to the level of performance required? Which leads me to the biggest issue in this proposed zone change. Please look at exhibit number two. This is the City of Warwick's Planning Board meeting recommendations from September 11th. In almost every project presented to the Planning Board that night, the Planning Department findings cited the City of Warwick's Comprehensive Plan, Chapter 12, protect and support existing residential neighborhoods, which I have highlighted in yellow. All except our project. The Planning Department labeled it generally consistent and encouraged new business and industries to locate in areas where adequate public facilities already exist. That's highlighted in green. It's not the consistent protect and support existing residential neighborhoods as they should have. Now, if you look at Exhibit 3, City of Warwick Comprehensive Plan 2013 to 2033, Part 6, Chapter 12, Future Land Use, Zoning, and Urban Design. In the second column highlighted, this is our neighborhood. It distinctly says limit commercial intrusion in residential areas. I've also included on the following page the goals and policies of that same chapter that reiterate this. So in summary, the proposed zone change does not comply with the comprehensive plan and will create a negative impact for our neighborhood. So a vote no tonight is the only right thing to do. A vote no tonight is protecting our rights, a job that we voted you all in there to do. Thank you.
Good evening, Michelle Marandola from 95 Spring Grove. I did speak last time they were here. Thank you for listening to all of us. Thank you, Councilwoman Travis, about the stipulation about the light. If that's going to happen, that would be great. One of the things I feel, and I talked about last time, is the matter of exits and exits to that property. If you're looking, I think that the Caponato Corporation and Dave's both are very presumptuous. Dave said, I won't sign a contract unless we can go onto Spring Grove, the people that live there. Now, somebody from Dave's did live on our street, probably about 40 years ago. I've been there for 41 years. They moved in after I did, and they probably haven't been there for between 20 and 30 years. So a lot of things have changed. And you're asking for an access, but you didn't ask any of us if that's something that we want. We live in there. It's going to affect our street. The other thing is for the Caponato to say, okay, I'm going to put that in my lease. You're guaranteeing that you're going to put something that, again, for that company, corporation, is not consistent with what the majority of the people on Spring Grove want. So why was that being done? You're both, to me, it's both pretty presumptuous that they both did that, thinking that I want something, and the other one saying, yes, you can have it, without asking any of us that live on that street. We talked last time, I talked about exits and entrances. Right now, there will be three entrances and exits from that parking area. Why do we need Spring Grove as a fourth? Do you know of any other business in Rhode Island or in Warwick that Dave's exits into a neighborhood? I don't think they do. They did talk about the Dave's and Hoxie Four Corners. That has three entrances, that Dave's over there, which is nice. They still have to have a cop over there to stop traffic so you can still leave there, but it doesn't exit out into any of the surrounding neighborhood as an exit street. That's what I was concerned about. The majority of the people on Spring Grove have no issue with Dave's being the store that's going there. That's not really the issue. We feel the issue is you're changing our neighborhood without our control. And what is the benefit of it? That's all I have to say. So please take that into consideration. Thank you all for listening to us. Again, thank you very much. Bye.
If you could please state your name into the microphone. Thank you.
Lisa Messina. I live at 61 Spring Grove, directly next to where the access is supposedly going to go in. Please do not put this access in. This is a genuine safety hazard to life, whether it be that you think my children are being neglectful or not. This could put people in my backyard during weather conditions that are less than ideal. This is not a good idea. This is my neighborhood. This is where I want my kids to grow up and be safe. And right now, that's not something that is going to be a thing if you guys open up this access for them. They don't need it. This is a neighborhood. We all live quietly in our neighborhood. We need our quiet. As it is, Dave's already put a light on the back of the building that shines directly into my kitchen. Every night I go to wash my dishes and I have a bright light shining in my eyes. I do not need car lights in my kids' rooms as well. Please think about all these things when you vote on this tonight, and please do not open the access.
Hi, my name is Laurie Maroney-Botkin. I live on Cottage Grove. I live directly in the back where that access road is going to. But why am I here? Because I don't think it's right that we're going to be able to open access from where Dunkin' Donuts is and go into where Dollar General and make it all the way through the parking lot of Dave's, cut through the back onto Spring Grove. Now you can get almost to Oakland Beach Avenue without going onto West Shore Road for one street that blocks it. So I'm just here asking you all to take in consideration of not just Spring Grove, but the traffic that it can cause. When people don't want to sit, believe me, I've sat in Wiles Corners. It took me almost a half hour to get to Cottage Grove with traffic in the summertime. We don't need that through our neighborhoods. I just want to say take that in and think about it. Thank you very much.
Damian McNamara, 41 Spring Grove Ave. As of right now, we have over 500 signatures on an online petition, and we have 80-plus signatures just on our street stating that we don't want this access. I can't comprehend how City Council could pass this through knowing that you have 700 signatures that do not want this access, but one man from Dave's Market wants it, and he's going to get it. How does this happen? Can somebody please explain this to me? Okay.
I'm waiting for the chairman.
Councilwoman.
All right. I'm going to back up a little bit, Mr. Chairman. This is mostly for the council people, so they'll be aware. At the very first meeting of this project, it was at the Warwick Public Library. Kelly Coates was there, members of the planning board was there. They had 10 maps there. I attended it along with Joe Sakachi. There were seven people. You were there with your wife. Seven people attended that very first meeting. Okay, seven. They sent over 100 letters. Seven people came to that meeting. A lot of discussion was talked about. They showed the maps. Some of the people that were they were talking to, they mentioned about doing landscaping here, landscaping there, and this was all mentioned. And it wasn't until they started talking that, of course, people got upset, and now they're hearing, oh, well, this might not be right. But that wasn't how it was from the beginning. When we all sat there, only seven people attended, and they disagreed.
Did you?
And there was one woman even said she liked it.
There was no notification about what the meeting was about. There was no reference to the access. There was reference.
Let's
and if they're getting
the
500 signatures, I'm talking. Can I talk?
Wow.
I mean, there's not 500 people that live on that street. I understand some of the people might not like the access coming from behind the nail salon, and they're all thinking they're all going to head out that way. I don't believe that's going to happen. And we're trying to get
Where's
that.
The study? Where's the study?
I am talking.
Let's allow the councilwoman to finish, and then you will have a chance to speak as well.
What she's
Thank
saying
you.
Is ridiculous.
And the thing is, we're trying to get that street light so that way we can close that
makes
up.
Makes no sense.
Forget it. You don't want to listen.
I'm sorry, if you could speak into the mic.
I'm sorry, but when I first met Donna at that meeting, I didn't know she was our representative. I thought she was an employee for Carpionato. She was taking notes for Kelly. And please, Donna, tell me who was your biggest donor last year. And you never once talked to your neighborhood about this. Why did you even push this through? Please, explain that to us.
For Carpionato.
Please. How could you put this through when you know the whole neighborhood, 80% of the neighborhood doesn't want it? You never talked to us. And I thought you were their employee because you were taking notes for Kelly.
I wasn't taking it for Kelly. I wanted to know what the public had
you
to say.
You told me to
and
be quiet.
Seven people didn't have much to say, did they?
It was a meet and greet. A meet and greet. It was so misled.
Vote this no.
For the record, my name is John Reese, 48 Spring Grove Avenue. Reese, R-E-I-S. I wasn't even, originally I was going to come up here and say something, and then I figured I wasn't going to because Maureen had said enough. And quite honestly, after hearing Donna Travis say something, at that meeting, there might have been seven people there. I wasn't there. I was out of town on business. I don't know where these people were. Maybe they were too. Some of us have jobs. We don't just work down the street. And so I wasn't there. I didn't know what the meeting was all about. I didn't know anything about an access road going in. And so to discount the number of people at that meeting, I mean, that is arrogance. I'm sorry. And another thing I wanted to say as well, and I know that, you know, Kelly Coates came up here, and he would say, essentially, that Dave's is a community business. They're all for the neighborhood. Every time I hear that, the actions speak louder than the words, and quite honestly, it makes my skin crawl when I hear that. I want to take a nice, long, hot shower after listening to something like that. There's a representative from Dave's up there. It's not Bill Hogan. He's the one that wants the road. He's the one that lived on Spring Grove Avenue. He's the one that calls the shots for Dave's. Is Bill Hogan here? No. Where is he? He's hiding. Instead, he sends somebody here to take notes. Guy doesn't come up here and say a word. And it's like, this is just a disgrace. I live right across where this proposed access road is. Do you think I want headlights shining in? No. And so maybe you guys should really consider that. Leave the politics out of it. When I found out that the mayor's chief of staff was here as part of the planning board as well, that's got to be a conflict of interest. There's got to be some kind of ethics violation there. You can't serve in that kind of dual role. And I want to know if Carpionato contributed to the mayor's campaign, because I'm pretty sure he did. And I know he contributed to Donna Travis's campaign. And so these are things that you need to think about when you're casting these votes. You know, these are taxpayers in the neighborhood. These are the guys paying your salaries. You know, Carpionato, I mean, I get it, it's all business. I get it, Dave's, it's all business. But don't say they care about the neighborhood. It's obvious they don't. I mean, it's laughable. It's a joke. So what I'm asking you guys to do is deny the access. And if none of you have seen a copy of this contract, maybe you should request a copy. Who knows what it says? This could all just be a joker's game. You know, you really should be looking at the contract. And if they want to come up here and start saying that they have something in a contract, if you're going to introduce that evidence or say something like that, that's no longer a private contract. If you're banking on it in a public hearing, that becomes public documentation, and you guys should be requesting that. And so I'm asking you to do that, and I'm asking you to share that with everybody over here so that we know what exactly is in the contract. And I can tell you right now, Thieves is not going to walk away from this. That little shop they got across the street, I mean, it's a supermarket joke. I mean, I know they started out way back, but I mean, it can't compete with all of the markets in the area. There's no way they're going to walk away from this proposed project. And to sit here with a straight face and tell you guys that they will if they don't get the access road, it's all garbage. And so I'm just asking you to just consider what I'm saying. And thank you.
If you could please state your name for the record.
Okay, my name is Pat Urban, and I'm at 102 Spring Grove. And I also wasn't going to come up here and speak after hearing what Maureen had said so eloquently. She said it all. But the fact that I was just chastised by Donna Travis is outrageous. That was an informational meeting. I was not at that meeting. My husband was. What's considered an informational meeting is we gather the information and then we make a decision. And that is exactly what happened. We got the information, we shared it with the neighbors, and we have been here, not just at that informational meeting. Granted, I didn't count, but I wasn't there. But there, we have been at every other meeting since then. And to say, well, sorry, you weren't at the first meeting in the library, so you can all just go home now, or we've already heard from you. That's outrageous, Donna. You should be apologizing. So that's, and one other thing I just wanted to touch upon is we've all been very open about why we're here and whatever. Kelly Coates has said, well, we're here because Dave's put it in that they want it, that it was in the contract. No one, and a lot of the people here, a lot of you and your peers questioned why we needed that other access. And when they just said, well, it was in the contract, then the answer was, okay, well, Caponato's a great group. Dave's brings in a lot of money for the state. They'll be good for the city, so that's okay. No one has asked Dave's for an explanation. And I find that outrageous also. And just, I wish you'd just give it some thought before you answer yes to this. Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public here who would like to speak?
Yes.
Please state your name on the record.
Amy Miller, 27 Spring Grove Avenue. Miller. I want to say that I am one of the seven who has attended every meeting, and it's inconceivable the comment that she just made about the seven people who showed up to that meeting specifically to discuss the access road. I myself overheard Donna say that the kids should not play in the street. Quote, I heard it with my own ears. That was your response to us trying to express what we were concerned about for the neighborhood and the safety of the neighborhood. Your only response was to tell your kids, don't go outside. That tells me you're not listening. If you're representing us, you have displayed zero evidence that you represent our interests at all. And it's true what Maureen said. You gave the appearance that you worked for them. I had no idea who you were, and I was very disappointed to find out that you are my representative. Never again will you be. Number two, they have been doing construction nearly 6 days a week. They show up at 7:30 in the morning. They are loud. They are inconsiderate. They talk as if there is no residential neighborhood behind them. We have pets. We have kids. My dogs bark all day long in response to them carrying on conversations about cultural events, race. They curse, they scream. They've even screamed, wake the F up, people, at 7:30 in the morning that I could hear in my home. They promised us this landscaping. No, we have had no sound buffering. We have not been contacted by them a single time to ask about our protection. Not one time. They do whatever they want, and you guys don't seem to give any merit to our complaints. They have erected lights on the building. They also shine into my house. The building is not open. There was no reason to start putting lights up at eye level that we can all see standing in our window. There was never any consideration for us at all. The Hoxie store. I believe that the roadway that goes to Hoxie, Warwick put signage up to prevent people from cutting through the residential neighborhood. You cannot turn right down Airport Road as you approach Dave's Market, correct? I believe that was because of the cut-through traffic of people trying to avoid the backup from Dave's Market. Why would you put signage up to prevent people from cutting through the Hoxie Dave's, but not the Spring Grove's Dave's? Why? There was signage, I believe, on every side street that prohibits people from cutting through and avoiding the light. But now we're talking about creating a cut-through, the same exact reason, so that Dave's doesn't have to pay for a traffic cop. I don't think it's Warwick doesn't pay for the traffic cop. Dave's pays for the traffic cop so that they can increase their business. I could give a, if they pay for another one, while we wait for a traffic light, we should not be held hostage for their need to increase their profit. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Councilwoman.
Yes. Well, first of all, at that meeting, it was an informational meeting to gather from both sides. What Caponato wanted with the proposal and what I took notes of what the constituents wanted. Those were my notes are. And I was introduced as Councilwoman Travis. And I did say that I don't think kids should be playing out in the street openly. These people even testified that there's times without even Benny's being closed all these months and whatever years, that people were going down that street. So the safety of the kids was a concern, because if they shouldn't be playing in the street if cars are going down the street. It wasn't because only because of Caponato. That's not the case. I don't work for Caponato. And I was there to see what the impact from these people wanted and what was Caponato offering. And they just love to interrupt. So
fine.
Let's vote.
Are there any more members of the public who wish to speak? If you could please state your name into the microphone.
I'm Brian Peskin, 160 Spring Grove Avenue, and I'll be very brief because everything's been pretty much said.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Could you slow down and speak into the microphone?
Brian Peskin, P-E-S-K-I-N, 160 Spring Grove, and I'll be brief because it's all been said already. Spring Grove Avenue is a dead end, so it's kind of a special street. You cannot get in or out. Kids and the bicycles and the pedestrians. There's a comfort zone there that's not the same. There's not a lot of traffic. It's marked no outlet, and this is a much more substantial change than if it was a true street, which had a fair amount of traffic, or it wouldn't be practical. Our kids have to play basketball. Little kids ride trikes. It's a safe street. Guy toes up and down his block towing his kids in a little wagon on a string. It's that kind of street. It's different. There will be, with the opening of Spring Grove, a total of 5 entranceways, the other 4 of which have direct, wide, commercial access to West Shore Road. This will require side street, 2-step access, and by the way, it's the back entrance to the building, and if you go drive through there, it's the long way around, so it's almost not the most convenient thing to do. You almost have to go out of your way to do it. Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak? Second, are there any other members of the public who wish to speak? Third, are there any other members of the public who wish to speak? Hearing none, I would request a motion from a member of this committee.
I would move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs closes at 7:15 p.m. It It has passed the committee for second passage and goes to the full City Council.